Good afternoon and welcome in to the penultimate huddle.
Way to go with the penultimate.
Yeah, you guys are going to miss words like that.
Could you spell it?
I could.
I'm not going to miss it. This is the first time I've ever heard you say it.
There's no T. It's not pentultimate. It's penultimate. Okay. Next to last edition. In a long series, and this one is a five-year series of the huddle on ESPN Upstate. It's Greg McKinney and Lonzo here on your Thursday. We're glad you're with us. Nice day. You feel a little chill in the air. It's a little cooler, but sunshine is out, so don't mind this for January. Getting a little turn toward wetter weather over the weekend. We think just rain here in the upstate now.
Well, here's the thing. Now the forecast is saying a mix of snow
like
and
Monday.
Rain again. No, I'm hearing Saturday again.
What?
Yes, I heard it earlier today. We'll have to actually pay attention to our weather when it plays later in the hour. And
All right, Saturday. Well, that's all right, but that doesn't bode well for the parade in Clemson, does it? That's not ideal weather for
I think it's going to, if it does happen, it will happen later on in the day, okay. So they should be all right.
Yeah, I think they'll be all right. Hopefully nothing too bad here up in the North Carolina mountains. Might get a little bit more. Keep an eye on that for you. Coming up on the show today, speaking of Clemson, Tiger basketball losing to Syracuse last night. So Clemson now 0-2 in conference play. We'll hear from Brad Brownell, and we would get to three questions in three in a couple hours. We will discuss whether the Tigers, I know it's early, but are they already kind of up against the wall here on making the NCAA tournament with this 0-2 start to conference play. Got a long time to go. It's January 10th, but it's not the way they envision things starting with conference play. And they have Virginia coming up this week, one of the best teams in the country at home, but it's Virginia, and they're tough to beat. Also, we will hear from Matt LaFleur, the coach of the Green Bay Packers, talking about what conversations he's had with Aaron Rodgers as he takes over as the new guy for Green Bay. At 2 o'clock, about 2:04, Mike McGovern, tournament director for the BMW Charity Pro-Am, joins us. They have made some changes to this year's tournament. First of all, it's going to be in June this year. It's been in May for as long as I can remember. It's going to be the first week in June. And they have cut it down to two courses. And we'll talk to Mike about what that means and how they will do that, how they will make do with just two courses at the BMW Charity Pro-Am. It's kind of interesting there. We'll hear from Ray Tanner on assistant coaching changes with Gamecock football and, you know, how hard it is these days to keep your assistants around, unless you're Clemson. They seem to do it, but it's difficult for most everybody else. Stephen A. Smith with some thoughts about the situation with the Carolina Panthers and Eric Reed. We'll get into that a little bit today on the show. Diddy will come in here. My last visit with Diddy at 3:20 this afternoon.
You think he'll cry? I think he'll cry.
I will be disappointed if he does not shed a tear.
I think he needs to come in and he needs to cry. Or this time with you meant nothing to him.
I know. I agree. Anyway, I don't know if he'll, you know, where he'll appear after this week, but you'll still hear him around. I'm sure he'll be subbing and podcasting and probably guesting on shows as well. So anyway, you'll get Diddy after this week, but he'll come in for the last time for this show coming up at 3:20 today. Three questions at 3 today as well, and more chances for you to win $1,000 in the free cash stash. We have three more keywords to give out during this show this afternoon. So a lot to do today in the huddle. If you want to get on board, 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line 71307. Start your message with ESPN, and we're on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. We'll start today talking about Heisman Trophy winner Kyler Murray as we start to get some developments about his plans for the future. We don't know for sure what Kyler Murray is going to do, the Oklahoma quarterback, but reports are that the Oakland A's expect him to declare for the NFL draft before the deadline, which is coming up next Monday. So he has half a week to decide. And the San Francisco Chronicle is reporting that the A's believe he will declare for the draft. Now, of course, he was chosen by the A's with the 9th overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft last year, 2018. And he went ahead and signed the deal. And that deal that he signed in June includes $4.66 million as a signing bonus. 4.66. It allowed him to play football for the Sooners for one final season, and then he was supposed to go to baseball. But then he went out and had a great year and won the Heisman Trophy. And, you know, that's changed things, at least potentially. Oklahoma had a 12-2 record, got the college football playoffs. Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay say Kyler Murray could very well be a first-round pick. ESPN's Chris Mortensen reported Wednesday that Murray was getting first-round feedback regarding the NFL. One NFL general manager told ESPN's Adam Schefter, "I really believe he's a late first-round pick." So there's sort of a consensus growing around his ability to play at the next level and do it at a high level. Declaring for the NFL draft would not guarantee that Kyler Murray would choose football. The A's would retain his professional rights, but he could try the NFL first. If he chooses the NFL over baseball, here's what you're all asking. Does he have to give the money back? Yes. The signing bonus goes back. I hope he didn't spend it. How much of the $4.66 million has he blown already?
If he already has the money, you know he's had to have spent some of it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd have to return the signing bonus. The A's would not get a compensation pick in the June draft. The A's have been told that Murray would not be going back to Oklahoma, so we know that. The A's still expect that he's going to report to spring training in mid-February. And they plan to keep him in Major League camp until mid-March, and then they go to Japan. The expectation is to have Murray start his professional career in Stockton, California, single A. It's a high single A affiliate for the Oakland A's. His agent, Scott Boras, told ESPN last night that his client has a baseball contract. Yes, we know that. Boras has been steadfast that Murray will play baseball. The A's could consider giving Murray permission to go to the NFL scouting combine. Major League Baseball would also have to approve his attendance at the combine. So he needs the okay to do that. So he basically has another month to decide what he really wants to do. I mean, he's got to declare for the draft by Monday if he's going to do it, and it looks like he may do that. So what do you do? I mean, do you pick Kyler Murray knowing that he could very well be gone to play baseball? Do you pick him? Do you pick him early? Here's another interesting thing. The new coach of the Arizona Cardinals, they have the first pick, and their new coach is Cliff Kingsbury. This audio is not new. This audio goes back to late October, before Cliff Kingsbury was hired by the Cardinals. But it's interesting. Here is what he said, Cliff Kingsbury, about Kyler Murray.
Kyler is, I mean, he's a freak, man. Purdy's a really good young player, and he's going to be a tremendous player, but Kyler is a freak, and I've followed him since he was a sophomore in high school, and just think the world of him and what he can do on a football field. And I've never seen one better in high school, and he's starting to show it now at the college level. And I mean, I don't have enough good things to say about him. He's phenomenal. I've never seen him have a poor outing, not one, which a quarterback, it's impossible to do, but he's done it. And I'd take him with the first pick of the draft if I could. I know he's signed up to play baseball, but he is a dominant football player, and I would take him with the first pick.
How about that? You could get that opportunity. First pick of the draft? That would be surprising.
I would think he would have to convince some other people, like, you know, the GM and,
well, sure,
and the owner and all that kind of stuff.
But if you're wondering about, you know, the coach of the Cardinals and how he feels about Kyler Murray, there's your answer. Adam Schefter said today that it is not implausible that the Arizona Cardinals would draft Kyler Murray and trade Josh Rosen. I mean, Josh Rosen, they just got a quarterback. Would you do that? Wild, isn't it? Just, I mean, who knows how this thing is going to play
out. And Kyler Murray's like 5 foot tall. I just, you know, usually I don't care about the height thing, but he's pretty short.
5 foot?
He's 5'8". I'm exaggerating a little bit. And whenever people say he's 5'8", they kind of smirk when they say it.
Really? He's listed at 5'11".
Okay.
I know that doesn't mean anything.
I'm just saying I listened to some shows this morning.
Yeah.
Right here on this network, and they were acting like he's a lot shorter than
he probably is shorter than 5'11". Probably is. He is not a tall guy.
Yeah, in high school, they listed me as 6'5". I'm not 6'5". They do that stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I said yesterday, if I'm Kyler Murray, I think about playing baseball just to preserve my body a little bit. I just think it's a little easier, even though there's a ton more games. You don't take the beating.
See, the
baseball.
Part that bothers me is if he actually has the money. If you have the money already, I just don't see giving that up and taking a shot at not getting it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Well, and from the other point of view, do you waste a high draft pick on this guy when you just don't know what he's going to do? He's not necessarily committed long-term to football. So would you do that? That's a big risk. But there is this report from the San Francisco Chronicle, not just that he will declare for the draft, but one source told them he's leaning toward football as his choice of professional sports.
So you're saying it's a risk. Not only is it a great risk, but what a risk it would be for a first-time coach in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good move.
Several former Major League Baseball draft picks ultimately chose to pursue football. List includes Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston. Remember how good he was a pitcher, Florida State. Pretty good one. And Ricky Williams. But, yeah, I think you can pretty well scrub the two-sport option. Don't think you can do that anymore in this day and age. So I don't expect that to happen. So there you go. That's what we know about Kyler Murray. We'll know more by Monday when he declares, if and when he declares for the NFL draft. Delvin wants to chime in on this story today. Welcome in, Delvin. What's up?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
We're good. What do you think?
Yeah, they were talking about his height. Like, Leonard said on the morning show, they're talking his on ESPN. But they also were talking about the crazy trade. Did you hear about the trade? They say that the Arizona Cardinals would draft and then trade Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
To Giants for Odell Beckham in the number one pick in the draft. Odell Beckham, I think it said in the pick in the draft.
Man, would you trade Odell Beckham for Josh Rosen?
No.
Not sure I would either.
But neither would I, and they were acting like it was a pretty good deal. And I what?
Yeah, how did you know that? Like, that was a pretty good deal. So did you see Josh Rosen play last season?
Yeah, and Beckham's still a fairly young guy, and I know, he has his moments where he's a pain in the rear end, but yeah. Quarterbacks are much more valued than receivers, but I still wouldn't do that.
And you think he's going to want to go to this situation after dealing with, he had to deal with the Giants, like, and not in a winning situation? If you think the Giants are bad, look at Arizona.
Oh, I got you. He wouldn't be winning very soon. Thank you, Delvin. We appreciate that. Yeah, Josh Rosen with Arizona last year completed 55% of his passes, 11 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Not a great start. And, of course, while he played, they were 3-10. That was his record. 3-10 with the Arizona Cardinals. So, no, I don't think I would do that. How's it going to play out? Time will tell. If you want to chime in on that, you can certainly do so. 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line is 71307. Coming up, what Clemson did last night in the game with Syracuse. We'll hear from Brad Brownell and much more. So stay with us. Just underway here on the Thursday Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney, Alonzo. We'll be right back. Greg McKinney, Alonzo, the Huddle, ESPN Upstate here Thursday afternoon. 844-477-3776. You would like to join in on the conversation today in the Huddle. To the phones, Tommy, you are next. What's up, man?
Hey, G-Mac, look, how do I fire Marcus Lattimore? I appreciate that.
That's pretty tough doing, isn't it? I know.
I give up right now, but look, just want to wish you the best of everything that you endeavor as you retire, and I want to make one suggestion. Please buy new fishing rods and not new golf clubs.
All right.
Okay, because golf is bad for your soul. Fishing's good for it. Okay,
I can't like both because I do. I love both golf.
Well,
and
I know
fishing.
You do, but just want to appreciate everything you do and come next football season, we're going to really, really miss you in Rebel Valley. It's going to be tough. Because, and another question, how many Burns championships have you called?
Zero.
Can you really?
I may be the bad luck for Burns. Yeah, I came in 2012, and they won their last one in 2011.
Okay, well, doggone.
So there you go. Don't worry too much about that, Tommy.
Well, maybe I can get you to start calling the Clemson football games and everything will work out for Springer.
I got you, man. I appreciate the
sentiment. God bless you, man.
Thank you. You too, Tommy. Thank you. Yeah. Look, they won it in 2011. I actually did the Dorman Burns State Championship game, which was 2009, but I did that for Dorman, and Dorman won it. But yeah, last one for Burns was 2011. They beat Gaffney. Upset.
I was there. Just want to point out, I did a show from there.
Well, then, but, you know, you're still here, so everything should be good.
Yeah, everything's fine.
But yeah, 2012 was my first year there. And it got to the upper state finals a bunch of times during my time with the Burns Rebels, but never quite got to Columbia. So, you know, maybe now they can. I don't know. Maybe Reggie Shaw should be glad that I'm moving on. But I appreciate the thoughts there. All right, so the Clemson Tigers, they lose to Syracuse last night in college basketball in New York. 61-53 was the final. Made a push in the second half, but they got behind 15 points and couldn't come back from that. Marquise Reed had 16 points to lead the Tigers, 6 rebounds. He becomes the 11th player in program history to get 1,000 points, 300 rebounds, 200 assists, and 100 steals in his career. And he moved past Dante Grantham, who just recently played at Clemson on the all-time scoring list. So now he's 33rd. Reed is 33rd in Clemson history. Brad Brownell saw some things he liked from his Tigers last night, some of his comments after the loss to Syracuse.
Yeah, we had some chances. I thought our defense was pretty good tonight. They've got some talented offensive players. I thought we guarded the three and got them to take some tough shots. I thought our guys really fought and competed, which was good to see. We just didn't play good enough offensively, against the zone. Obviously, we had a hard time there. Couple tough breaks where I thought we were trying to post it. The first play of the game, Eli gets a foul on, looks like a play, it's a basket. And, just a couple of those went against us. And so now we're not being really able to post it as much as we'd like. And so now we're doing some other things. And for whatever reason, thought guys were just a little tense and a little tight today in the game. We just didn't quite look, comfortable and confident. And some of that's their zone. Some of it is their size and length. You just can't simulate what they're doing in practice. You try, but there's no way to simulate 6'6", 6'8", 6'8", 6'10", or whatever. And so you have a hard time, and then I think it looks a little more difficult when guys are playing against it for a while. Thought in the second half, obviously all the turnovers at the beginning of the half just killed us. But our guys hung in there. I'm proud of the way they competed defensively and fought. It's crazy as it is, it's Marquise Layup misses the layup with 3 minutes to go. It's going to be 56-52, 3 minutes to go, and the pressure's on them, and, we're right there to win the game.
Yep, but did not happen, so the Tigers are 0-2 in the ACC. They're 10-5 overall. They are back at home on Saturday for their ACC home opener, and that's going to be right after the football parade, so hopefully a good crowd out there for that one at Little John. They play Virginia number 4 in the most recent Associated Press poll. So, and you know how Tony Bennett runs that Virginia team, how difficult they are to beat, how they kind of take the air out of the ball. And it's just not going to be easy. Virginia has won a bunch of games with the system that they have, and they're very good again this year. But right now, Clemson at 0-2 in the ACC, and so they're one of 5 winless teams in the conference. Miami, Notre Dame, Wake, Boston College, and Clemson are looking for their first win. So you got a bunch that are ahead of the Tigers in the early going here with some wins in the Atlantic Coast Conference. And, of course, Virginia Tech's off to a hot start. I mean, look at all these teams that are ranked. And I know a bunch of teams will go to the tournament from the ACC. Don't get me wrong. Clemson can still work their way into the mix. But right now, you've got the number 1 team in Duke, the number 4 team in Virginia, the number 9 team in Virginia Tech, number 12 North Carolina, number 13 Florida State, number 15 NC State, all in your conference. So it's and you got to play those guys. For the most part, you got to play, and sometimes you got to play them twice. So yes, it's going to be a challenge for the Tigers. And what you wanted was a good start, and they really don't have that to fall back on. So we'll watch and see what the Clemson Tigers are able to do going forward. We will have the broadcast of the Virginia game coming up here on ESPN Upstate on Saturday before we go to football. So you can hear that right here. And we will keep tracking the Clemson Tigers, and hopefully they will be able to get things turned around again and get their first win. I don't know if it'll be this Saturday against Virginia, but soon get their first win in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Otherwise, college basketball last night, Virginia, their game before the Clemson game, blew out Boston College 83-56 last night. Kansas beat TCU by 9, so number 7 Kansas is now 13-2. Virginia Tech was challenged last night by Georgia Tech in the ACC. 3-point win, though, for the Hokies, 52-49 in that one. Number 10 Nevada, no trouble with San Jose State. They won by 39 points. Ole Miss upset Auburn in the SEC. Number 11 Auburn goes down 82-67 last night. Florida State had a little bit of trouble with Miami, but they won 68-62 last night. Rutgers beat number 16 Ohio State last night, 64-61. It was Temple over Houston, and Marquette beat Creighton. How about the score? That was an overtime game, so it was 106-104. Marquette over Creighton last night. So those are your other top 25 matchups in college basketball last night. 844-477-3776 is our number here in the huddle. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more. We're going to take a look at the hear from the new Green Bay Packers coach coming up and talk about the NFL, the latest news from the National Football League. That's coming up next. Stay with us in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. So we spent a lot of time talking during the football season about whether Thomas Davis would want to come back for another year for the Carolina Panthers. Didn't get the chance. He went on social media last night and put out a video and said in that video that the Panthers told him this week they're going in a different direction at the linebacker position and would not be re-signing him. Thomas Davis said, "Carolina will always be home for me and my family, but I'm not retiring. I feel like I have way too much football left in me to walk away from the game right now. I want to keep playing. I'm going to keep playing." That's what Thomas Davis said. He said, hopefully someone will give him that opportunity. Do they?
I'm not so sure. Here's the thing. You know, I'm not surprised at the parting ways with him. For one thing, he has lost a step a little bit, but I think it was an embarrassment, him failing that test and getting suspended. The fact that he was NFL Man of the Year before and all that kind of stuff, and they built him up as a person of integrity and a representative of the team, and that was a real slap in the face. I noticed no one's really mentioning that, but I think that has a lot to do with why they're letting him go. Mm. And will you want someone of this age to come on your team? I mean, you're looking for young guys to be on your defense. You're not looking for a guy like this, even though—
Not a linebacker.
Yeah.
Either.
I mean—
No, that's tough. That's tough. You got to have – you can't lose a step at linebacker. You're in big trouble. So I don't know. I mean, he might get a shot, but, you know.
You know, in his video, he said he wanted to come back and be able to help the team rebuild after all the consecutive losses and to take some of the blame. Yeah, you should take some of the blame because that defense dropped off so much.
Yeah, it did.
Everyone wanted to blame Cam, but the defense is a big part of why they lost so many games.
Yeah, definitely. They took a step back, and he was part of that. He is the all-time leading tackler for the Carolina Panthers. 1,258 tackles. That's according to Carolina coaches' film. Officially, the NFL says it's about 150 less than that. That's interesting. 1,094 official tackles.
Well, whatever it is, as long as Kuechly doesn't get any more concussions, he'll pass that up for sure.
Yeah, I would think so. But, you know, you worry about Kuechly, too. He's been banged up. Concussed so much. Marty Herney said when he came back 18 months ago as the general manager that he needed to make sure the analytical part of his brain takes over the emotional part. Marty Herney was criticized after he was fired after 2012 for signing old guys to deals that allowed them to play past their prime. So this may be a sign that he's learn from that and not going to do that again.
Well, he needs to start looking at Peppers, tell him goodbye.
I mean, Peppers got to go too.
Yeah, there's some other guys there that are aging that need to be shown the door, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to protect from what they showed this year. You got to go younger. And, you know, you got Shaq Thompson, young guy who's started to play really well. So they're getting more speed on the field with him. They want more speed on the field in Thomas Davis's position. So the decision made for Thomas Davis that he will not be back with the Carolina Panthers. Green Bay Packers new coach is Matt LaFleur, comes over from the Tennessee Titans. And in the hours before they offered the coaching job to LaFleur, his phone rang and it was Aaron Rodgers on the other end. Here's what LaFleur said about that.
I briefly spoke to him prior to accepting the job, and that's kind of how I had an idea that maybe I was in the running for it.
Once we kind of narrowed in that, you know, that Matt was our guy, you know, I had Aaron reach out to him.
Yeah, the GM there saying, wanted him to talk, so he had Aaron Rodgers call LaFleur. Introduced yesterday at Lambeau Field, had a 42-minute introductory news conference, and then a half hour on the side with beat writers, and then a one-on-one interview with ESPN. And guess what he got asked over and over again? What's your relationship like with Aaron Rodgers? What are you going to do with Aaron Rodgers? He's 4 years older than Aaron Rodgers. He's a young guy. He's 39 years old. But his ability to make the most out of the remaining prime years of Aaron Rodgers has everything to do with this hire. Aaron Rodgers did not take part in interviews with any of the 10 candidates that the Packers considered, but it is believed the only phone call he made to any candidate was to Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur said, I can tell he's a passionate guy. He wants to win. That holds true for me as well, so we are in alignment. Can this guy get Rodgers back to playing like a two-time MVP and Super Bowl champion? Aaron Rodgers did not have the best year. He wasn't completely healthy. But this was not a great year for him, and it was a terrible year for the Green Bay Packers. So,
see, the GM jumped in because he doesn't want everyone thinking that Aaron Rodgers chose the coach, but Aaron Rodgers only called one coach, and I don't believe that the GM told him to call him. I think Aaron Rodgers chose this coach. This is Aaron's coach.
Okay.
So he didn't need to take part in anything. He went, okay, I want this guy. Let me give him a call.
So the front office said, Aaron, who's our coach? And Aaron said, Matt LaFleur.
You know, for as many times as you hear this joked about, there's got to be some truth to it in some cases that the big-name star gets to choose or have a hand in choosing.
I think the big-name star gets to sign off on it. They want to make sure he's comfortable. They talk to him about it before they make the hire. But I do believe that they had Aaron call the guy. I believe, because the reports were that Aaron Rodgers was behind Joe Philbin. There was a lot of reporting that that was the case, but must not have been true. Or maybe they just told Aaron, hey, it's not going to be Joe Philbin. Sorry. So who else do you like? And he signed on with Matt LaFleur.
And so Aaron said, if you're not going to give me my guy, I'm going to pick the worst candidate I can find.
Oh, please. To mess up the last few years of my career?
To show you why, you know, you need to go with what I say.
New York Jets going with Adam Gase as their new head coach, according to ESPN, quoting sources. And, of course, Greg Williams out at Cleveland. He is under consideration for defensive coordinator for the Jets. Former Broncos coach Vance Joseph, who was Gase's defensive coordinator in 2016, could be a candidate for that position as well. But he's currently a candidate for the Bengals head coaching job. So all kinds of movement still yet to be clarified on the coaching front, even though we got a lot of that done already this week. The Jets reached out to Gase soon after he was fired by the Dolphins, New Year's Eve.
Why?
Because he was 23 and 25. I don't know.
It's the Jets tradition. We need this guy.
Yeah. He is seen as a quarterback guy. They've got Sam Darnold. They think he can help Sam Darnold. True? I don't know. But he's worked with a lot of quarterbacks. Of course, Peyton Manning would be one that comes to mind. And so they think he can help Darnold. According to ESPN, Sam Darnold did not impose his opinion on the general manager or ownership. But After speaking with Gase via FaceTime Monday night, he felt like Gase was the right guy. Gase will be the first head coach of the Jets since Bill Parcells with NFL head coaching experience. And he's an offensive-minded guy. The Jets opted for Gase over Mike McCarthy, fired by the Green Bay Packers, and Matt Rhule of Baylor. Gase, considered a rising star in 2016, he took over the Dolphins, led them to a 10-6 record, their first playoff berth since 2008, and then it went downhill from there. Dolphins never finished better than 17th in scoring or 24th in yards during his 3 years with the Dolphins. And they started off 3-0 this year and finished up 7-9. Offense 31st in total yards this year for the Jets. So they didn't exactly light it up, but the Jets believe Gase is the guy who can get it done. And by the way, as far as Mike McCarthy is concerned, he seems now to be resigned to sitting out the upcoming season. Says he'll sit out 2019 and will be locked and loaded and ready to go for the next year. The Jets' job was the only one he pursued, but Gase got that one. McCarthy and his wife have 5 children. 4 of them are still school-aged. He said he's looked at everything and decided that it was either New York or stay out for a year. And the family will be excited to have him home for a year. He said, in fact, when he got the message about the Jets, they started cheering that he didn't get the job. Thanks, family.
Yeah, they'll be tired of you like within 2 weeks. Yeah, so.
That was nice. He's going to get paid for next year. He had a year left on his contract with the Packers, believed to be $8 million plus a year, so don't worry too much about Mike McCarthy having to sit out 1 year. So that's the latest from the NFL. Could change any moment. We can get updates while we're on the air this afternoon. There's still lots of movement in the NFL coaching carousel for sure. 844-GSP-ESPN. Health Dare text line is 71307 if you'd like to get in with us here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. So who plays on Thursday Night Football tonight?
Nobody.
That's tough, isn't it? That's kind of rough. I appreciate all you college basketball fans, but...
See, you usually complain about Thursday Night Football. Now there isn't any.
I wish I had some Thursday Night Football. Even some college, even a bad college game would be all right. No NFL. We got good NFL football this weekend, though, and we'll get into that. Yesterday, we were talking about the guys leaving Clemson, and we told you about Trayvon Mullen and Trey Lamar, the cornerback and linebacker, who announced pretty much while we were on the air. And we talked about Dexter Lawrence. He had not announced. Well, he did that after we got off the air yesterday. Dexter Lawrence, defensive lineman, will be leaving. Of course, he's under suspension, so there's never really much doubt about that. But he's made it official that he'll head to the NFL, projected as a first-round pick. 6'5", 340 pounds. Mel Kiper Jr. has him number 14 on his big board of the top 25 draft prospects. He has started since his true freshman season. So here's the thing now. For the Clemson Tigers. Of course, they're losing the entire defensive line. This is where Brent Venables is going to earn his money. Next year, Clemson will have a new starter at both defensive end positions. They will have a new starter at both defensive tackle positions. They'll have a new starter at middle linebacker, a new starter at Sam linebacker, a new cornerback. And they will also lose their number two guys at every linebacker position, at defensive tackle, and at quarterback, cornerback. That's what they're losing on that defense.
Yeah, but one thing about it, they blew out so many people this year that they got just about everybody on the roster playing time. So, I mean, how many guys are going to come in there and it's going to be the first time that they've seen the field?
That's fair, but playing time doesn't equal...
The responsibility of starting and all that.
Well,
yeah, I agree.
The same talent. They're reason they're backups. Listen, I'm not crying for the Clemson defense. Don't get me wrong. But isn't that going to be the storyline? This offense is bringing just about everybody back. Just about everybody back. You know, I mean, skill position particularly. They're all coming back. So it's going to look different, I think, next year. Not that Clemson didn't score points this past season in going to the 15-0 record, but we're going to have some higher scoring games, aren't we? They're going to have to beat good teams. Will they have to outscore them? Do you expect the points allowed by Clemson to go up dramatically?
I think it'll go up, but I don't know about dramatically. I don't want to respect Venables, but I do. He's managed to reload before, and Clemson has reached the point where they're an elite team now, and they can do just that. They can reload.
I might as well quit.
I am not happy about saying that. And well, let's break it up. I have some interesting breaking news.
What's that?
Tate Martell set to transfer from Ohio State. This is according to Ohio State Football, just tweeted this. And possible targets, Miami and West Virginia.
Ohio State Football, like official school account? Or like somebody that covers them?
It's Ohio State Football. I follow them, so yeah, I'm pretty sure it's an official account.
Yeah.
They don't have a check mark, though. Should they have a check mark?
Yeah, that would be verified. Yeah, that would help. That would help. Could be somebody just making that up.
Why would he? I don't think so.
No, I agree. Probably not. But why would he go unless he knows that Justin Fields is going to be cleared to play?
That's why I said I think it's interesting.
And how would he know that?
Maybe they told him.
Who? The NCAA?
Maybe they know. Maybe the powers that be already know he's going to get cleared. Just like we're laughing about it, we both believe that he's going to get cleared to play.
Ryan Day's already been in touch with the NCAA, and he's gotten the off-the-record ruling. And he told Tate, and Tate's transferring. That's what you're trying to tell.
Unless someone hacked their account, we'll wait and see if anybody else shares it. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. Is that the only tweet you've
seen
on this? It's a little early for that. That's all I'm saying, right? A little early for him to be deciding to transfer out. Maybe he just believes that maybe he's just ticked off that they brought Fields in. Because they have done that. Maybe he doesn't like that.
Well, I'm looking at other things. I don't see anything other than Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields follows Tate Martell's sister, but not him, on Instagram. So anyway, that's the first tweet that I've seen about it. We'll see if we see any more.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, back to Clemson and their defense and what it's going to look like. I mean, you look at it this year, and they didn't give up a ton of points. I mean, you realize that the team that scored the most points against Clemson was South Carolina. That's the first incredible fact of the year right there with 35 points. Nobody else scored more than A&M scored 26 on the Tigers, Syracuse 23. So those are the teams that scored the most points. But for the most part, opponents for Clemson were in single digits or low double digits. You know, 10, 16, 3, 7, 7, 6. Isn't it conceivable that Clemson will have to outscore some of their better opponents next year with a little bit of a rebuild on the defensive side? Are you just assuming they're going to be almost as good defensively, losing all those guys? That defensive line,
I don't want to talk
incredible.
Anymore because I've been more positive about Clemson this entire week, and it's bothering me.
Well, I'm trying to get you to not do that. I'm giving you that opportunity. Here's something you can sound the alarm on. Clemson's defense is going to be gutted by guys going to the NFL.
This would appear to be his biggest rebuild ever as far as Venables goes. But he's had to rebuild before, and he's managed to do it and come back and have a pretty good defense. So I think he probably will again, and it helps to play in the ACC. And by the time they get to the playoffs, because they'll probably make the playoffs again, they'll be seasoned.
Yeah, all that's true. They have athletes. They don't have the best recruiting classes in the country, but they have top 10 recruiting classes. And Venables gets the most out of them. So, I'm not suggesting that you be worried about Clemson for next year, but that's a bunch. I don't know, and we don't have all the decisions in yet. Some other guys could leave. They still have a few days to make their decision. But, Dexter Lawrence was certainly no surprise yesterday. You know, some were hoping that Trayvon Mullen, Trey Lamar might hang around, but, you know, they got good grades, so they're going to head out. Now, here's the other question. Dexter Lawrence going to the NFL, how much is he going to be asked about his suspension, about testing positive for the banned substance? He keeps saying, he's always said he didn't know how it got in his drug test. Doesn't know how. And there's been nothing to confirm how it got in there. All Dexter Lawrence has said is, I didn't do anything intentionally. I'm not the type of guy to do a selfish act like that. So.
Well, he's going to be asked that by every single team. So we'll see if they believe him or not. By the way, a follow-up on something earlier, 24/7 Sports is now saying Tate Martell has entered the NCAA transfer portal.
The timing of this is interesting, don't you think?
Oh, definitely.
What does Tate Martell know about Justin Fields' ability to play?
And after he talked all that stuff about come here.
Yeah,
and
come on, man.
Maybe he's seen all the praise and all the projections that he would not be the starter, and he's like, okay, these guys know what they're talking about. I'm out. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not surprised he would leave after Justin Fields is cleared to play. I mean, he's probably seeing the same stories that we see. There's a story that CBS is projecting that Justin Fields will start in 2019. The CBS story did not mention Tate Martell. Justin Fields will start, assuming he is eligible, according to CBS Sports. And of course, Tate Martell popping off before the Rose Bowl about how he's the Ohio State quarterback of the future, but nobody else seems to think that he is.
The other day, Herb Street was on Golic and Wingo, and they were asking him about, you know, would these two teams be back, and he said a number three team would be Ohio State if Justin Fields becomes the starter.
Right.
So, I mean, you're hearing, you're seeing all that, you're thinking, this dude's coming, and I'm not going to get to play. I don't blame him for leaving, but what if he leaves and he doesn't get cleared? Then who's going to be the quarterback at Ohio State?
Yeah, if you're an Ohio State fan. Oh, look, you are. Are you worried about that?
Yes, I have some concern.
Can't say that I blame you on that one. All right, well, watch for more reporting on Tate Martell entering the portal. He's in the portal. That portal's getting a little crowded.
Yes, it is.
To expand the portal here for transfers here. So what does that mean for Ohio State? We'll watch that going forward.